Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
He was joking, right? Or was that like an actual thing?
It was
an
actual advertisement from the 60s.
Oh, from the 60s. Okay, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah. Looked fucking gnarly as shit.
Yeah.
And there was all these different varieties of how to put your Skippy peanut butter with your Hellman's mayonnaise.
Ugh. It looks like something my drunk-ass brother ate. I mean, so like, gross. Like, when you said Cliff, I immediately thought it was like some weird southern thing, because he's always like posting some like nasty thing that like, you know, like... My great aunt Lucinda used to make this all the time. And like,
Lucinda? I ain't heard that name in nary a nugget a time.
Oh, God. So anyway, welcome to Game Classy. I am your host, Joe. And with me, as always, is my co-host, Steve.
There's only 236 calories in this bag.
How many serving sizes, though?
No. See, this is a British product.
Oh, okay.
So it just tells you what's in the bag.
Okay.
This pack contains 236 calories.
Well, there you go. It's not too bad.
No, not for chips.
No.
The carbomimates, there are 28 grams of carbohydrates. So that's a lot. But there's 3 grams of protein, which is surprising.
It's because it's filled with,
you want to know,
it's filled with queen shavings.
My favorite thing about it, though, is the first ingredient is maize.
Maize.
Yes.
It's what the Native Americans call corn, Steve.
Maize, rapeseed oil, pickled onion.
I like how they call it rapeseed oil, too, because we don't even call it that. We call it canola.
Uh-huh. Wheat rusk, flavor enhancers, monosodium glutamate. Yeah, babe, you got to get that MSG. Disodium ribonucleotide, fructose, salt, citric acid, potassium chloride, hydrolyzed soya protein. There's the protein. Contains wheat and garlic powder. Everything a growing boy needs. This is the pickling. Also, this is like super old now.
Yeah, so, but I mean, that stuff never.
It's probably gone stale by now.
I don't know.
I really want to eat it, but I can't.
So you could hold on to it, because I'm sure it's not going bad anytime.
Maybe I'll
soon.
Do that. Maybe after I've lost all my weight, my first triumphant carbohydrate meal
will be this monster munch.
Pickled onion monster munch. It was so good. You were missing out, bro.
No, I tried it. It was not good. It was not good at all.
It was good.
Like most British food, it deserves to go in the trash.
I want the other two monsters, but that's after I've lost the weight with the carbomimate enemy.
If you want some great Atkins style dieting, you can eat the British full breakfast.
There's like infinite carbs. They got beans. They got the bread.
Beans
are heavy carbs.
Are they?
Yeah, heavy carbs.
High protein. That's all.
They're good. Beans are not bad for you, but they are heavy carbs, especially when they're going to be in. I know they're going to be in a sauce, like bean sauce.
Yeah, red sauce. Yeah,
yeah, that's
but it's British, so it's probably like made of tea and milk.
I mean, milk's got a lot of carbohydrates, actually.
Oh man, I know you hate milk. And I
do not like milk.
I know, but God, I've had such like a hankering for like a big glass of milk before bed for the last few days.
It's so weird.
I don't know why.
Milk is really gnarly to me.
Put a little Nesquik in there. Just mix it up just a tiny bit, just to give that hint. I'm having like a Pat B moment, because that's something that he would do.
Pat B seems like a guy who would be like breakfast. He'd be milk. Pat B's milk toast.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
No. Pat B would be the type of guy who'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna have a glass of milk before bed. And it's like, what did you put in there? Oh yeah, Fruit Loops. It's like you put Fruit Loops in your glass of milk. Yeah, I wait for them to dissolve, and I drink it down all at once.
Pat is into sugar.
He loves his sugar.
He is into sugar.
He
you would not know that by his. I wouldn't say petite frame, but. Quite average.
Yeah, I think that's because he's from Minnesota, so he's from
that northern stock. It's the maple syrup.
it's sugar beets is what it is. It's sugar beets. The Pat B has family's got quite tied up in the sugar beet market.
All right, hopefully if he has the time, we're gonna have another throwdown in the street fighter on Sunday.
Street fighter. Yeah. Oh, is he gonna be in on Sunday?
I believe so. We're gonna do the cast, and then he's off on another whirlwind adventure.
I invited him to the Games Plus auction.
Oh, nice.
He's always wanted to go. He's never gone. He went. I took him once to like a board game auction, and he was so fast. He was like a small child. He just no. He wasn't like a small child. He was like literally. It was like an alien world to him. Like he was an ambassador from a different world, and we took him there, and he was just like, "What do I do? How do I participate in this?" I'm like, just stay behind.
First of all, you got to get your quat loose.
Well, I mean, it was like, I kind of felt like Obi-Wan taking Luke into the Mos Eisley cantina, you know, replete with aliens.
Did you cut the arm off of a dude with a baby's ass for a face?
He was like, ogre! And I was like, just cut his arm off. And
some guy goes like, I don't like you. He doesn't like you either.
Yeah. No, that's something that actually would happen generally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a metaphor. That would, you know,
that happened.
Oh, once. Yeah. I'm surprised a fight has never actually broken out at the auction. I mean, everyone's always very, very civil.
Everyone would be too winded. they're just like, like they like tried to fight and just kind of they just sit back down in their chairs.
I like the idea of like the arena music. Yeah, you know the. How does
and not even just the fat guys. The skinny guys will be winded too. They haven't run in just as long as the fat guys have.
How does the arena music or pond farm music? They're just like going really slow as they're punching each other. No, I mean like seriously. I've always kind of I've been going to that auction now for going on 10 years.
Are you ready to be my buyer by proxy?
Yeah, I'm gonna be your buyer by proxy.
Yes.
I'm that amount of money though. It's not gonna get you a lot.
Hey, I'm not looking for a lot, and I am looking for a deal.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, I can.
I know what a deal is.
Yeah.
So.
Because if I want the going rate, I can just go to eBay.
Yeah. But the, I've been going there for 10 years and I don't think I've ever seen it even get heated. I've seen the bidding get heated. Like, I've seen people get kind of mad at each other. I've gotten mad at people at the auction. Oh, I've gotten furious at certain people. Like, where I've just inflated my bids just to piss them off.
That, I guess it's a good thing that I don't go very often, but I also don't know a lot of the guys in the Games Plus auction crowd.
Yeah.
Because I know, like, knowing my personality, if I saw someone I hated there, I would just buy. I would, like, if I saw them bid on anything, I would outbid them. I would just be like...
Well, no. The trick is not to outbid them. The trick is just to inflate it to the point where
then put it down
so that they still
they
have
more.
To buy it.
But I don't want them to have the thing. I want them to have no satisfaction.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's general... I'd rather see them spend more, and that's where I get my satisfaction from. You just have to kind of reorganize your priorities. Now, see, if it was something like, I don't know, let's say I was playing against, and I was bidding against, I can't even think of someone I don't like, but they were like, let's say they really...
Lieutenant Googly.
Okay, so let's say Googly was at the auction, and he saw some, like, prime armor cast Eldar, you know, wave serpents.
Oh, I can't believe the wave serpents!
The deals!
Let me
adjust my reporter's cap.
No, because I know he's not a reseller and he wants that for his own personal
army.
I might outbid him for that. But a lot of times the people I'm angry at are resellers. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, mine would be entirely personal. Like it would have to be like so. And I mean, I guess there's no one in the miniatures world who I actually have that kind of like animosity. Actually, there's almost no one in any gaming circle who I have that kind of animosity towards. Maybe some magic guys, but they all quit. There was one dude. Oh, man. He was the best. I fucking destroyed him at this $1,000 cash tournament. He got so salty because I was using this card that was generally considered quote unquote bad. And I'm like, no, it just breaks this matchup. Like it totally broke the matchup wide open. I'm like, it's fucking great. No one else is playing it. And it won the mirror match. And so it was four. And I won the mirror match all day because I used that card. And sure enough, the very next week there was a pro tour. All of the pros were using that card in their sideboard. Fucking all of them. And I was just like, yes. It was so sweet because he went on a tirade to my buddy I went to the tournament with for like a half an hour about how shitty I was because I used this card because he got his ass handed to him by it. He was fucking losing his mind about it.
That's nuts.
And then the very next week, people playing for $50,000 all using four copies of it in the sideboard. I was just like, yes. Oh, it felt so good. I mean, it also felt good to win the $1,000.
Well, yeah. That's what I would say.
That part was good too. It was a good day. It was a good day. But yeah,
it was a good day to die.
He had to quit Magic to sell his cards to pay like his bail or for legal fees. I don't know. I think he's in prison. So
I think he's in prison.
That's where he belongs.
That's where he belongs for doubting your magic abilities.
No, he just belongs there in general.
All right.
He needs to get shanked for doubting my magic abilities.
Before we get too deep into it, I want to ask you a question.
Oh, I want to get deep.
You said that you saw Zootopia.
I did. It was really good.
I saw two. I don't think I had quite the same reaction you
no,
did.
I liked it.
I mean,
it does have a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, so someone's got to be that 1%.
Yeah, I mean, I just kept on feeling like it was really creepy. Did you get a feeling like it was creepy at all?
No.
I felt like it was really like Disney made a movie for furries.
I don't believe that at all.
I don't know. It felt really weird.
Disney's been in the anthropomorphic animal game long before.
I know, but it felt like there was a lot of furry stuff in
there
it.
Was
like they were specific, like whoever.
Specifically.
I don't know.
I mean, you could say it's fan service, but that doesn't exactly work that way because anything that's anthropomorphized animals is fan service. Because they were here's the thing. They were walking and talking animals.
Yeah.
Yes, they were anthropomorphized because they were standing, walking around, but for the most part, they still just looked like animals.
Yeah.
Because the big thing, they all had different sizes. There's the tiny
little
hamsters and stuff, and the elephants are big. The big thing with furries is everything is mascoted. Everything is humanoid, human size. It's the human body, animal head, for the most part.
I just kept on thinking to myself while watching the movie, I go, there's going to be a lot of art on the internet about this movie that I'm not going to want to see.
That's anything.
I know. It's hard for me to explain. It's I felt it was a good movie and it was done well and all the animation was great. The story was okay. But I mean, my kid laughed throughout the entire thing, but I was just
yeah, it was good.
I kind of felt like it was really weird.
More weird to me than The Amazing World of Gumball. You could say, I mean, is that furry fan service because all of the characters are animals?
No, because it's this felt like it was trying to be a little sexy. I know my wife, I was talking because she loves Jason Bateman. And I was
Who doesn't love Jason Bateman? He's a very lovable guy.
He's a very lovable guy. But I kept on feeling like I was people are going to be attracted to these animals. It's just weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't explain it. It's furries to me.
So are you trying to say that you were attracted to these animals and you are in fact a furry?
I'm having mixed up feelings, Steve.
I believe we are outing your furrydom, which is fine. What is your fursona? I, for example, I'm not a furry. I'm a pokey-y. So I have a pokesona, and my pokesona is Garbodor.
Oh my
god. He's a giant pile of garbage. He's my pokesona.
Oh god. It's I always say, I don't understand My Little Pony fans. I don't understand bronies at all. I cannot understand that.
Here's the thing. I want you to finish, but I'm going to throw something real quick. I understand people want to watch the show. I watched a couple episodes of the show because, it was such a phenomenon. I got to figure it out. It's a fucking miserable show. I don't know what the fuck the thing is. I understand people who like the show because people stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
The brony thing is just weird.
Well, no, that's specifically what I'm talking about, the brony thing. And I'm I don't understand. I cannot understand it at all. I can't even justify, sometimes you could reason things in your head I understand how they get to this level. But bronies, I can't fathom it at all. And I'm kind of that a little bit with furries, but it's I kind of understand it too because I'm Wayne's World explained the best when they said, "Do you ever find Bugs Bunny attractive when he put on a dress and acted like a girl bunny?"
Bugs Bunny attractive when he put on a dress and acts like a girl bunny?
But that's
no.
No.
Neither did I.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. It kind of cracks it open a little bit for me because I get where people get the furry thing because they grew up watching anthropomorphic animals on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that shit's old as fuck.
Yeah.
Thundercats. There's
Thundercats is different.
Oh, it's not.
No.
Chitara? Chitara, she's a furry.
No, that's not a furry.
It's a furry.
Not a furry.
It's a furry.
No.
There's percentages of furry.
She
would fall into the category of, have you ever seen the little block of the... There's a little image block of the furry percentages, and it starts at cat girl, which is anime.
A regular girl with cat ears.
Cat ears and cat
tail. I would understand that.
That's the farthest away from furry you can get to that still has an animal aspect. And then there's the all the way down, which is actually just an animal. And there's several images in between that has percentages and its classification. She is not at the very tippy top. She's not the very tippy bottom. She's higher than standard. So if the average furry character is a median, she is closer to the cat girl than she is to the actual animal. But she's still in the furdom scale.
Okay,
we're gonna call this the furdom scale.
I'll defer to you because you obviously have deep dived into this philosophy.
Oh, dude, it's the internet, bro.
Yeah, you've deep dived this. You've mined this, but. For Chitara, I would be like, no, she's not. You know why? Because she doesn't have a muzzle. Like, furries have to have muzzles. That's just me. I don't know anybody who's out there who's
well,
a furry.
Well, they
kind of
do because they have the, like, the Thundercats do have the kind of, like, nose thing. Like, if you look at Lion-O, like, he's kind of got it.
Not a muzzle. Different.
It's
different,
like,
thing altogether. Sorta.
It's like a really smushed one.
Yeah.
It's like a bulldog. Like, since saying a bulldog doesn't have
she
a muzzle.
She has, like, a human nose. It's completely different.
I'd actually have to check Chitara. Because, like, you know, Panthro obviously looks like a cat dude thing. And so does Lion-O. He's got, like, that flat nose. He's got a little kitty nose and Wile E. Cat and Kit. I'd have to actually look at a more recent
image. I'm going to look up Chitara. We're going to look up Chitara
She's on some level of the furry spectrum. But let's just... I mean, there's the gummy... Well, no, I don't think anyone... I don't think any... Well, they're probably... I can't say anyone because everyone is sexually attracted to something in fucking everything.
Yeah.
I'm sure some dude is jacking it to Turbo Teen right now.
There's nothing wrong with jacking it to Turbo Teen.
I didn't say there's anything...
No.
There's,
she has a completely human
there's
face.
There's nothing wrong jacking it to anything you want. Okay, yeah. She is an anomaly where she actually has, like, a regular humanoid face. Because if you see Panther, but she's got the claws and she's got the furry thing. She's definitely not exactly.
Chitara was created by some guy who had a really deep fetish in something. That's all
maybe
I'm gonna say.
Maybe he really wanted to have sex with a cheetah.
Well, I'll say yes.
So, yeah, I mean. There, but yeah, it's all
no,
that's
Lion-O has a human nose too.
No, Lion-O does not. He's got, like, a weird, like, triangle thing on his nose. It's not here. It's when there's some scenes where it's at the bottom where he's moving. He's got
I think you're just a little dealy.
But I mean, Lion-O looks like a fucking. He looks like a fucking. He like He-Man fucked a jaguar.
He-Man fucked a jaguar. Do you know who wrote that theme song?
No idea.
The guy from Inside the Actor's Studio.
Really?
The guy who you know, he's like
the guy who basically is between the two ferns.
Yeah. The guy who's like, what is your favorite swear word? He wrote the Thundercats theme song. I don't know if he...
That is a very bizarre and somewhat interesting piece of trivia.
I don't know if he wrote the music or if he just wrote the lyrics, because the lyrics are, Thundercats are on the loose.
On the move.
On the
Thundercats
move.
Thundercats are loose.
I mean, it's not like a really complicated lyric scheme. Okay. It's not like he's no Alan Thicke, you know. You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have
the facts of life. The facts of life. Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it a lot. It was good. I disagree. I think Disney is completely within all rights.
I'm not saying they're
it's
not.
It's like Kung Fu Panda.
Again, all animals,
brah.
Yeah.
Same thing.
It just felt like this was. I think it's because they were taking. It was taking place.
It was
in
because they were wearing T-shirts and not traditional Chinese garb.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
So if everyone was in in karate outfits, it'd be fine.
I've never been to China, so for all I know, they're just full of anthropomorphic animals over there. That could be just a normal thing.
They just got pandas and tigers just walking around,
yeah,
sharing noodles,
saying skadoosh and
okay,
stuff like that.
Makes sense.
I'm so mad that they came out with another damn Kung Fu Panda movie.
The first one was pretty good.
I'm tired of kids saying skadoosh. I hate that.
Well, luckily for me, I don't have to ever be around children.
Yeah, I mean,
so I don't get to hear them say skadoosh.
All right, let's talk some gaming stuff. James actually wanted us to talk about how Warhammer is no longer the top dog.
It's been dethroned for a while. X-Wing's beaten it more than once now. So I saw someone saying on there that this is the first time X-Wing's beat it, and that's not accurate.
No,
it's not accurate. It's not accurate.
It's not accurate
at
all.
However, the thing that really matters about that top miniatures list is
that Star Trek Attack Wing is number 5 for some goddamn reason.
Well, it's because miniatures games are such a small market. There's not a lot of room to move. No, the thing that actually matters, and the thing that matters to all miniatures fans, is that War Machine has never been number 1.
Oh, does that bother people?
I think that's the thing that bothers people. Just a perennial number 2 has got to stick with you.
I mean, if I'm going to say anything about War Machine, it's a perennial number 2.
Yeah, like that's got to.
It's a poop joke.
I mean, that was a joke on multiple levels, really.
Yeah. That's, hey, we're high class here. At Game Classy. But then, you know, I thought it was weird that it was called that it was Warhammer. It wasn't Warhammer 40K.
It's because it's everything. It's just they just put it as Warhammer because it's that means everything Games Workshop.
But I mean,
it should say Games Workshop.
But specifically on the last year's list, it was said Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, it should just say Games Workshop because they put everything under there. Because Warhammer Fantasy is not a game anymore. No. So
yeah, neither is Lord of the Rings. So,
but yeah, Lord of the Rings has never been on the list anyway. So
yeah. But I mean,
but it's a specialist game. They don't put Blood Bowl or anything like that. I'm sure that number is all of their shit put together. Plus, it's kind of hard to keep that. Well, I'm gonna let a dirty little secret out here that I think is probably not a dirty little secret to anyone who's in the business. But one of the things you have to do as a trade store, and you might not have to do this anymore, but one of the things you used to have to do, can't confirm if it's right now. One of the things you used to have to do is keep a list of stock, and you had to have stock at a certain level. And when you sold something, you had to reorder it. So, like, Age of Shittimar, say.
This is specifically with Games Workshop.
So you have to buy 5 copies. And then they send out, like, a little survey thing that's, like, how many copies have you sold? And then, like, if you sold 3 copies, you need to reorder 3 copies. Like, you have to. That's part of your trade agreement with Workshop. Now, most store owners, they just lie. So if, like, their initial was, like, you know, say 5 copies of Shittimar or whatever, and it takes them 2 years to sell it through, like, they're never going to say that there's another, that they're missing one. They're going to have 5 on their sheet until the end of time because they don't want to be forced to restock because Workshop wants so much control over what you're stocking and how your thing looks. And I kind of get it because they want somewhat of a standardized expectation if you go into a store that stocks Games Workshop. The problem is they're asking for too deep of a commitment. And that's their big weakness is they ask, like, they don't want you to, you know, they don't want you to test the waters. They want you to be like, you give us $5,000, like have $5,000 worth of active Workshop product in your store at all times. And, you know, miniatures games are a big commitment, even for, Warhammer, which is the easiest one to sell because, you know, it's ubiquitous. It's just like Magic, you know, and card games in general and lots of things. Like, I always tell people, like, if you're getting into miniatures, like you want to get into miniatures games and you're on your own, like you don't have a group, you should buy 40K.
Yeah, because it's just...
Period.
There's always people who are going to be playing 40K.
Like, it's not even close to a question. If you are getting into miniatures, and, like, I, you know, there's some younger guys I know who get into miniatures games, and, like, all of them get into 40K, and I'm like, that makes sense. And a couple of them have gotten into War Machine or other games, but they all get... You know, you get into the game that your friends are playing. If you're getting into it by yourself, and you're kind of on your own... First of all, why are you listening to this podcast? That's really weird. But
get off stop listening, you damn weirdos. Yeah,
it's just odd, man. And two, just 40K is just the way to go. Like, if you wanted to get into a trading card game, like, you should start with Magic. No questions asked. Like, you have to start with the biggest thing because if you play the biggest thing, you'll get, like, the general experience, and then
what you do is you buy your Magic cards,
you can go
and you sit on them for 20 years and hopefully make some money on them.
That could be a thing too, depending on how lucky you are. You don't even need 20 years. There's some that have been. There are cards that were playing that were in Standard, maybe 5 years ago, that were selling for $8 to $10 each, that are now right now going for $80 to $100 each. So you can get value very quickly as long as you know what to look for.
As I always say, Magic is such a weird... Magic works like its own currency. I can't explain it. I've read economic treaties. I've read David Hume. I've read the Federalist Papers. I've read Hamilton's treaties. I know a lot about economics, and I cannot tell you how Magic works like that.
The closest comparison you can have to it would be 100% like military economics. Like, you'd have to imagine a world where everyone can fight a war at any time where no one would die, but you want to get the best guns, and the best guns change every so often because there's an arbitrator who determines which guns are allowed to be used during certain time periods. So that's why it's its own thing, because, you know, cards fall in and out of favor through, you know, they're banned because, you know, there's a, you know, every year and a half or 2 years there's a ban of everything, where everything that's in currently in play goes away, goes into the legacy format.
But even still, it's like the actual stock market for, if there was like, if there is such a thing as a stock market of Magic cards, which you can make the comparison that there is.
There is. There's a tracker that has the EV of set. The closest thing you get is the EV of sets, which is the expected value.
Yeah.
And
it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like watching Wolf of Wall Street.
It's understanding a set that can. So if you're trying to sell boxes for money, it's understanding what does that set offer the game forever. Like, yeah. What does this, like, for example, Battle for Zendikar, or not Battle for Zendikar, the original Zendikar, a box of Zendikar, I think is $600.
I think the Battle for Zendikar was a Roger Corman movie.
Well, it's one of the newer Magic sets.
Yeah.
Zendikar, a box of Zendikar is like $600 right now, and. The reason it's that expensive is because it contains the fetch lands, which are those cards that are $80 to $100 each. And the fetch lands are a cross format. Any format they're legal in, people want to play them. They're that good. And they're going to be that good, and they're going to be good until the end of time. Like,
until
that's
the end
just
of
how strong
time.
They are. Then you take a set like Dragon's Maze. Dragon's Maze is currently worth less than its original market value. Its original market value, you know, the retail price of a box of Magic cards is $134. So Zendikar is worth $600. Dragon's Maze, maybe $90, maybe. And because Dragon's Maze has zero cross format superstars, I think the most expensive card in Dragon's Maze is like $5.
Mm.
So a lot of the things that'll determine the value of the box is the EV, the expected value. So if you open a box of Zendikar, you're probably opening up at least what you paid. And that's the guys who are sharking it. They know. Like, you need to know offhand if you're in the business. You need to go, like, expect the value of a box of Zendikar is $1,000. That's not what it is, but let's say it is. You know, it's $1,000. So you know if you're buying it for $600, you're getting a fucking sweet deal.
Yeah.
You know, they're never that good. You know, there's a window where you can start, you can sneak in. Like,
yeah, it's like literally like stock trading.
Yeah,
it's insane. Yeah. I mean, and the thing that just boggles my mind is the fact that Wizards, or whoever's technically in charge of Magic, like,
it's Wizards.
I know Wizards, like, it like puts out it, but like the person who's in specifically in charge of Magic, because you know if it went to committee, they would all the cards would go to shit. So there's actually some team.
Oh, you mean like R&D?
Yeah,
the R&D team changes freely. Yeah. It's all overseen by Mark Rosewater.
Okay,
he's the writer on Roseanne.
Damn,
true story. Wrote on Roseanne. So weird.
But let's say that it's this Mark guy. He has the ability to hypothetically print money.
Yeah,
like if he wanted to, he could be like, I want some Black Lotus cards. And he could, like, create a whole sheet of Black Lotuses and flood the market with them.
Mm-hmm.
But he chooses not to.
Well, he can't, because then you devalue the game.
Exactly. There's, like, a knowledge of understanding of economics in it, which is so interesting
to me. That's all TCGs. Like, that's the problem Force of Will's having right now. Force of Will, it's so easy to acquire cards. Their EV on boxes is tiny.
Yeah.
Because the most expensive cards you can get in Force Will are all variants. But if you're there to play, competitively, you can put together your deck
for
nothing.
But just like anything else, like all minis games, like what minis game has the best resale value, hands down?
Well, resale value is a different story than what you're talking with Magic. Like resale value for you can resell 40K easily. Well,
yeah.
It's been shockingly difficult actually.
Well,
fantasy models have been selling better than 40K right now.
But out of any
it's
minis,
workshop.
Any
workshop.
Mini, workshop games, right? I mean, and same thing with card games. The card game with the best resale value of all time is Magic.
That's not actually exactly true. Magic has longevity. The sets have longevity, but the profit margins are smaller than in most cases than other, like Yu-Gi-Oh, the most cancerous game that exists. When a new set comes out of Yugi, if like there's a great card in it, that card is $300.
Can we call people who follow Yu-Gi-Oh Yugalos?
That's pretty funny.
Yugalos.
I call it Yugi because teach me how to Yugi. Teach me how to Yugi.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah,
I like Yugalos. We're gonna call them Yugalos for
whatever.
Now.
I just call it Yugi. It's just
all
Yugi.
Let's move on to some updated information, shall we?
But there's cards in there worth $300. There's a huge amount of things. But all card games need to have that threshold of Yu-Gi-Oh is the worst example of like. There are cards that are worth hundreds and hundreds of dollars, and then everything else is worth fucking nothing. You know, Force Will, nothing is worth anything. They're just, it's another problem. You need to have that median line that you need to be close to.
Yeah, and Magic does that very well.
Yes, and Magic sometimes hits the spike, but they never go down.
All right, so Kickstarter that popped up that I thought was really friggin' awesome. Sandy Peterson's Cthulhu Mythos for Pathfinder. Did you see this Kickstarter?
Nah.
I want to show you the... So it's not only is it a rule set, but it's also got a bunch of minis with it. These are some of the coolest Cthulhu minis I've seen in a long ass time. I'm going to bring them up for you. So
is it from the dude who made... Oh, wait. I did see that. It's from the dude who made Cthulhu Wars or whatever.
I think it's the same guy who did Cthulhu Wars. But they are just so cool.
Hey, Shantek.
I don't know if those are the minis used for Cthulhu Wars, because I've only seen Cthulhu Wars once, and I was like, this game looks infinitely too complicated for me to play.
I think it is the Cthulhu Wars things.
Yeah, they're just really cool looking.
Oh, yeah, they look sweet.
Yeah. It's a little on the expensive side. It's $100. You get one set and the rule book. Or
I'm almost 100% sure that these are the Cthulhu Wars guys.
Or you could get the rule set and two of the smaller adventure packs. Either way, I think it's a pretty decent deal. You're getting some really, really, really nice models.
I like the models, but I always have that thing where like I always have a slight disdain for anything
Cthulhu.
Well, it's sort of. I have a slight disdain for anything that illustrates Cthulhu.
Yeah.
Or create, you know, miniatures, card game stuff, like anything like that. Like, because you give form to the formless. You know, it's kind of a
you go on a jihad. It's like when the Muslims see a picture of Allah or Muhammad.
It's kind of. I mean, like
you go a little nutty there.
I don't like the. You know, you're describing the indescribable.
Yeah, you go on a nerd jihad is what you do.
A najad.
A najad.
Yeah, it just you know,
got najad against the Yuggalos.
There's a few things that are fine. You know, like I mean, and there's like a widely accepted how Cthulhu looks because he looks exactly how he's described. And there's a lot of things that are, you know, there's a lot of things that are described specifically by Lovecraft or people who have written in the
fish people,
the Lovecraft movie. Right, fish people. Like, you want to make minis of fish people, that's cool. But, like, I think it kind of removes a little bit of the magic when you, like, you show me what a Shoggoth looks like, what you think a Shoggoth looks like. I'm kind of like, that's not exactly what I thought a Shoggoth looked like. But then it gets permeated and you think about it and it, like, it replaces your mental image of what a Shoggoth used to be. And now you know that, like, oh, it looks exactly like this, which is the Fantasy Flight Games illustration of a Shoggoth from Arkham Horror or whatever.
I could see that. I don't really mind it as much.
It's just like a really weird personal complaint.
I got over
complaint.
That. I get it. Like, it's like when I was reading Game of Thrones and then I watched the TV show. I'm like, that's not what that guy looks like. That's not what he looks like at all.
Yeah.
And then you just get over it. And then now the people look like that in my head.
they've destroyed your imagination and replaced them. And there's a few things that are, you know, reasonable. Like I said, the fishmen, the deep ones, because they're very well described. Or like the Hound of Lang. Oop, I fucked your shit up.
Oops, I fucked your shit up.
They're, you know, like a Hound of Lang. Like, they're described very specifically. You know, but I mean, it looks cool. It looks sweet. I think role playing in the Cthulhu mythos is stupid. I think it's the dumbest thing in the world. The I don't like the idea of sitting down and like, we're going to play a Cthulhu game. Like, the only way a Cthulhu game works is if you do it you can do it exactly once. And I might have talked about this in the podcast before, but a properly run Cthulhu mythos game has to be completely disguised in every capacity as another game. Like, you have to tell everyone you're playing Pathfinder, and you just like make a Pathfinder game, and then all of a sudden, after like, and you need to be flawless at this to make it really work, you need to like start putting in a, like slight directions towards like a little bit of weird stuff.
Yeah,
and it cannot be obvious. And if any of your players are familiar with the mythos, you have to be very careful to not tip your hand too early. And then after like, you know, 10 sessions or something where you guys are just playing like, and I'm saying like, you're playing vanilla fucking Pathfinder, like you guys are fighting rats and like skelebones and shit, or whatever game, like a detective game, Gumshoe or some shit, whatever you're playing, then at session 10, suddenly the fucking, the drapes fall, the light shines through the window, and suddenly everyone realizes they're in the fucking middle of the Cthulhu mythos, they all go insane and die. Like, like that's the way to do it, like to like surprise them with like, oh, by the way, it's a fucking nightmare. Like, you guys walk into the house, like, you walk into an inn. Oh, the inn's walls are fucking flesh, and they're bleeding, and there's a disgusting hag thing in the center of the room with its body contorted. It's facing forwards, but also facing backwards, you know, and describe things like that, and just, you know, suddenly they're like, oh, shit, this isn't the game we signed up for.
I know you do love reading Cthulhu stuff and you love Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
There was a great short story written by Neil Gaiman. I don't know if you ever read it.
Is it called the it's the green something, right?
Yeah.
There's a board game of it.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, it's called it's escaping me, but I know exactly. It's Sherlock Holmes versus the Cthulhu mythos.
Yeah.
There's a board game of it. It's the Emerald. A Study in Emerald.
A Study in Emerald, yes.
Yes, there's a board game.
Just goes to show you there's no good ideas out there anymore.
They've all been absorbed.
Well, Justin, would you like to join my American Gods role-playing society? I am currently playing as money.
By the way, that's my new thing now. Anytime I don't know, anytime any casting comes up for any TV show or any movie, I'm just gonna go, well, that's just Hollywood whitewashing again.
Just anything.
I'm so tired of hearing about it.
What about money?
No, about whitewashing.
Oh well, I mean, you probably could be tired of hearing about it. You are white. You don't need to worry about it.
Well, I know. I just like, I don't know. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of just hearing about it. So just, that's my new comment now. It's just,
it must
always
be awfully convenient for you to be able to just be tired of it.
I'll just have you know I'm 164th Cherokee, so it's okay.
Wow.
That
was
so
awful.
Going on.
You should feel bad.
New Arena Rex figure. That guy's looking pretty sweet. The guy with the hyena handler.
Yeah, that guy looks fucking badass.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's... Once again, you know, we talk about it every once in a while. Arena Rex, fucking play that game.
Yeah, it's
go
the
play
gym.
It. It's $100. It's fucking phenomenal. Yeah,
it's the gym. It's a very small investment for a lot of return, and it falls into the wonderful category of cheap expensive.
Steve's favorite category.
I
cheap
love cheap expensive. That's where I like to play.
Speaking of just expensive, Rub and Bone Second Tide is coming. The MOBA-based board game.
Yeah,
you know what?
Just, you know what you should do instead of pledging to that game? Get Arena Rex.
You know what you should do instead of playing a MOBA-based board game? Play an actual MOBA game online and realize how miserable it
and
is.
I was going to say, like, I can't advocate that. MOBAs are rough, man. They're... unless you're above the age of 24, then your hands are too slow and you shouldn't bother.
I had a lot of fun playing Defense of the Ancients, too.
Yeah, do you remember when Dota came out, dude? That's a long fucking time ago.
Yeah, well, the second one, Dota 2.
Oh, right. Not the, okay. I was
yeah, not the original one.
I was thinking the original, like, mod of Warcraft.
No. Well, I did play that, too, but yeah. No, I'm talking, like, just recently, like, the last few years.
Yeah, well, it doesn't require as much as, it doesn't require as much as StarCraft, and that's why I think they're catching on. The reason I think they've exploded and, like, usurped StarCraft as, like, the most popular
League is huge,
right? Is because they're more accessible because you can be less physically adept and play them because it's that. Well, I mean, it's true. Like that's one of like the StarCraft 2 professional Korean players. They have like a career lifetime of like 4 years because you need to be able to put in 180 actions per minute or whatever their ludicrous requirement is. It's probably more than that. And like if you can't do that, you will actually lose to the other guy because he inputs faster than you.
Yeah.
Like you just lose. You're just like, I'm not fast enough to play this game.
You know what? Speaking of video games, I finally finished Grimrock. After taking a year off of playing it.
Sweet.
Finally played. Now I'm playing Grimrock 2. The game is fucking 1,000 times better than the first one.
Yeah, and the first one's great.
Yeah, holy crap. I've just been, like, having a ball playing it, and it's like, this is so much better than the first one.
Yeah, it's great. Both the games are fantastic. I knew you'd like it, because it's a great throwback to that classic dungeon crawler, like Eye of the Beholder and stuff. Super fun.
Yeah, the only problem with 2 that I'm having is that the food mechanism on 2 makes it so much more difficult.
Yeah, it's harder.
Like, you run out of food.
People
so
complained
quickly.
About the first one being too easy.
Well, yeah. And I didn't think the first one was... Well, the first one was a little easy. I mean, it wasn't like... I was able to blow through, like, the first...
I think the first one, I wouldn't call it easy as much as I would call it forgiving.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like the second one is unforgiving. It's not like... It's not a grind, and it's not like... It's not difficult, but you have to become a lot smarter in the way you play.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to manage properly.
Yeah. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. I was thinking about Grimrock now.
I can go play some more Grimrock.
I'm going to go play some Grimrock. Do I have any more gaming?
Sexy anime pictures?
No, I'm not. No more sexy anime pictures.
We only did it once.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do it. We're supposed to get more hits with it.
Actually, we get the most amount of hits whenever I put up something having to do with Games Workshop. So if I say, like, this is a review of this game, people are like, oh, I'm going to click on this. And, like, on the last one I put up, it's like, look, the review is not for this game is not till this specific point in the podcast. And people still fucking complained about it. Still awesome. Fucking complained about it. And I was just like, God damn it, you guys all suck. Everyone I don't know why I have a gaming podcast when I hate all gamers. All fucking miserable human beings.
Well, I mean, how about that butt action tournament? you ready to go be surrounded by your people?
I am. I'm actually excited. Adepticon's coming up in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, because next week is C2E2. Oh, and C2E2, I was... So I got my buddies going. They're my non-gamer friends. So these are people who have, like, introductory level gaming. Like, the most complicated game I've ever had to have them play is Catan. Seriously, that's like the level at which I introduced them at. I ran role playing with them over Halloween. It went really well. I ran that zombie game with them.
Well, role playing is really accessible. You don't need to know anything how to do it.
But
you just need to know how to play pretend and, like, follow instructions.
I mean, but that's the thing is, like, there's certain people who are always like, oh, yeah, I'm going to play role play. And then they're always, like, the type of person who's like, I'm going to go and whip my dick out.
Well, yeah, I mean, they can be a thrill, though, but that person's just a dickhead.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're not, there's no difference. They're just being a fucking dick. So just be like, okay, now go away.
But these guys were pretty good with it. They did actually a really...
Yeah, because they
job.
Wanted to play. The guy who's like, I want to put my dick out, doesn't want to play. He's just being a dick.
So I'm like, well, C2E2, they're getting a hotel. I'm not getting a hotel because I like to sleep in my bed with my wife. But they're all going to, like, the four of them are all going to get a hotel and share, like, a bed together. They're going to pack in, like Abraham Lincoln and his buddies.
Fine, you just hit the floor. It'll be all good.
Yeah, not for me. No. I will go home and take a nap. I will go home and sleep in my giant bed and be fine.
When I'm really conning, it's that's always the best. Just fucking stumble into the room at fucking 3:45, pass out on the floor, wake up at 5:30, like, I gotta get to the tournament.
Well, that's different. That's different. No, this is like, well, first of all, it's not fair because one of the friends brings his wife. And of course, if there's two beds in the room, they're going to share a bed. So it's not like any of them ever get the opportunity not to be on the bed. Which is fucking bullshit. I absolutely cannot stand
it. That's against the rules. One of them has to take the floor at some point.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, but every convention...
Unless they're paying more for the room.
Yeah, well, I agree. But But no.
I always go by the split, man. Like, I mean, technically, there are two of them paying for the room. So they do technically are paying more.
Yeah, no, they're not paying more.
Really.
It's
they
per
have to
person.
Pay more. Well, they have to pay more per person each. Like
that, I would agree with that.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter
if you want to insorb the bed rights.
But it doesn't even matter because, like, okay, so they share the bed. That's fine. But then the other guy, the other two guys who go, they don't drink, so they're usually in bed by like 9:30. So me and the other guys, we're out drinking. So by the time we get back in the room, they're already in bed, and, like, all four of them have taken up the bed already, and there's, like, no discussion about who gets the bed or what. It's fucking bullshit. I don't agree with it. That's why I never share a room.
Well, I mean, anymore. I'd say that it's just the level of people you're with. You got to be with serious congoers.
I agree completely. That's why I don't share the room with them. But anyway, so I was like, well, you know, how about the night of C2E2 when you guys are staying there, we run another game. I'll run you through either the zombie game or one of the other end of the world games. Mm-hmm. We could do some Dungeons and Dragons. We could do something, whatever you guys want. I'll even run you through Star Wars. And then, so I get a text back. My buddy, he got the Star Trek murder mystery game. He's like, let's do this.
The How to Host a Murder?
How to Host a Murder Star Trek The Next Generation. The face Steve is making is amazing. I get to be Worf. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, you're going
to
be Worf?
Yes. I'm just going to constantly say, I think we should fire at it.
Captain, we should probably be prepared for combat.
I think we should go to Code Red.
No, Worf. Worf, stop suggesting we fight everything.
But sir, I say we should put our shields up.
Actually, this time he's right. Put the shields up.
Yes! I imagine that Worf has a little moment every time. Like, every time the captain, like, listens to him, like, his, like, combat-centric advice, he's just like, yes! Because I imagine from the perspective of a GM, so Picard being the GM, you know, he's got the one player who just wants to fight everything, and he's got to rein that guy in all the time. But the guy never learns. He still wants to fight everything. But the one time, he's just like, we got to fight it. And GM's like, all right, you attack it. He's just like, yes! Fucking roll my dice!
You think Worf like gets up in the morning, he looks himself in the mirror, he goes, the captain's going to listen to me today. The captain is going to listen to me. My advice is solid. My advice is latinum.
I think he sees it and he just goes like, combat today.
Today we will have combat.
Yeah,
and he's just standing there in front of that screen all day long because of how long it actually takes them to get from point A to point B in the Star Trek universe. Yeah. We don't see it. And it's just kind of like them. Like, and it's like Geordi's just like walks in. And he's just like, so what's going on today? Nothing yet.
But there will be combat.
There will be combat today. All right, buddy. You keep up that vigilance.
I'm going to go fall in love with another hologram lady.
And then he meets her in real life. And yes.
Hey, you know what? That's exactly.
Leah Brahm.
That's exactly like falling in love with a fictional character played by an actor. When you meet the actor and you're like, oh, that guy was a dickhead.
Yeah.
Not anything like his fictional character. Yeah. Jason Bateman doesn't look like a fox at all.
To quote Aerosmith, falling in love is hard on the knees.
I thought you were going to talk about love in an elevator.
Oh, there's also love in an elevator. It's going up while you're going down.
They had a video game once. It's called Revolution X. Music is the weapon.
Music is the stop the new Autobots. Find Joey Kramer. Man. Stop the new Autobots. No, the...
So weird.
But yeah, it's... No, actually... Yeah, it's like, how are we going to do How to Host a Murder with the fucking set? We don't even have a cassette player anymore. Who has a
cassette? Does it come with a cassette?
Yeah, it comes with a cassette.
Wow. He found a vintage one. Yeah. Because they still make those. They make those now, but they're DVDs.
Oh, no, this is totally vintage.
The DVDs.
DVDs.
Or compact discs, if you will.
They're fun. I like them, but it's just like Star Trek The Next Generation.
It's really funny.
Who's a... I told him he has to play Deanna Troi's mom. That's what I told him he
Luxana
has to play. Luxana Troi. She's so horny all the time. She just wants to have sex.
I
want to
play the big giant dude. I'll get stilts. I'll be her butler.
Mr.
Katie.
I can't remember his Gorn? Name. Gorn? No, not Gorn. Morn?
No. Morn is Deep Space Nine.
And, yeah. Mog?
I can't remember him.
Ah.
He's a big tall dude.
I know.
Say anything. It's Lurch.
I know, but my Star Trek now, I have to know the...
Gotta rewatch it repeatedly. It's hard, man. You gotta get that shit absorbed.
I remember Geordi's holographic girlfriend, Leah Brahm.
Yeah,
that's
a good one. I mean, that episode's real funny.
Yeah,
at the end, it's like, yeah, Geordi got disappointed in love again.
I always love how Geordi just always he lucks out.
He always misses out, man.
He can't. He strikes.
But
out.
You know what? We both know that his first love is that dilithium powered engine.
Oh yeah, no, that's Scotty. That's Scotty right there. Scotty doesn't love anybody but his ship.
Mm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
She's giving her any more power, she'll blow, Captain.
He's done there having sex.
He's just banging it. Well, Scotty, are you fucking the engines again? No, Captain, I'm done. I finished a little bit ago.
I just put a clear coat on.
it's hard coat, Ma. I swear it's hard coat.
I was just thinking, like, we were talking about the Captain Picard as the GM. I always thought it'd be funny, like, if, like, you know how they're always playing poker? Like, what if they actually, like, they come in one day and Picard is actually GMing, like, an actual Star Trek and an actual, like, role-playing game?
Nice. Riker's like, I hit him with my sword. All right, number one. I like that action. Roll your attack score.
So, no, it would be like, all right, so you're going into a tavern. There's a barmaid behind the bar. I seduce the barmaid. Roll your charisma. You failed. How did I fail? I'm Riker. I can't fail charisma.
Commander, I'd like to remind you that this is a role-playing game. You are not yourself on this tabletop.
Damn it, Data, I know that.
You only have a 43% chance to succeed in this action with your multiple enhancement modifiers, sir.
I like those odds. You rolled a one.
A one. A critical fumble, number one. Geordi's fucking asleep.
Worf is like, when do I go to hit something?
No, Worf's writing up a new character because his last guy got killed.
This time I'm going to be a mage.
Worf would never be a mage. It'd be like, what's your next character, Mr. Worf? A barbarian. Your last 12 characters are barbarians.
This one has an axe.
The last one had an axe.
This is a two-handed axe.
He just keeps remaking the same barbarian with the same like bad spread of feats and stuff. Just like, this is the way it's done. I need the exotic weapon so I can use a batleth.
I don't understand why I keep failing. This is the optimal output for a barbarian.
I would watch that show. Just the whole show, just the fucking Star Trek who really, like, not actually getting into any space adventures.
No, just, not at all.
Just playing D&D.
Yeah, with those characters.
I would watch the fuck out of that.
And Deanna's constantly going, like, we shouldn't go in there. The captain's planning something. Stop reading my mind, Troy.
You're cheating.
No meta at the table.
Meta gaming, out of the room.
That's good. Your character's frozen in latinum.
It's good. It's funny stuff.
Yeah, it's funny stuff. I was also thinking about
my fancy anyway.
And I was thinking about Star Trek anyway. It's because I know your hatred of hipsters in general, but do you ever think in Star Trek that there are people who like prefer the taste of real food? Like they see it as like it's hipsterish. Like it's like, I know this. The replicator can make this, but there's nothing quite like the taste of real Eggs
Benedict. I'm actually almost 100% certain that happens in an episode.
Does it?
Where someone's like, I don't know how you can eat that replicated crap. I make my own food. Blah. Like,
was it Cisco's dad?
I can't remember who it is, but I'm almost 100% certain there were a farmer or a colonist or something.
But was it Picard's brother?
No, Picard's brother said was talking about the Synthahol.
Yeah, Rene.
Yeah. He was talking about the Synthahol. That also happened.
And then he got killed off screen in Star Trek 7.
That was fucking bogus.
Yeah, it was really bogus. It was stupid. Star Trek 7's like one of the worst movies.
That's Generations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Generations. Generations is not that great. But again, it had parts. Again, like most things Star Trek, it has parts that are good, parts that are bad.
Nah, Star Trek 7 was mostly parts that were bad.
I mean, Malcolm McDowell was pretty cool.
it was incredible. Oh, I don't want to get into the plot of that movie. The plot of that movie is terrible.
The plot is...
Just the entire movie. It is like... And even First Contact, which I like, is not a very good Star Trek movie.
Insurrection, I think, is probably my favorite Next Generation movie.
Insurrection?
Yeah, I really like Insurrection.
Oh, my God.
I love the fucking skin stretchy dudes.
Oh, my God.
Station exploding.
Oh my God, Insurrection is like one of the worst.
No,
movies.
I liked Insurrection.
This guy runs up with a big purple bazooka and he's shooting.
That was
shit.
Awesome.
Oh God, terrible.
That was awesome. They have fucking heavy weapons. Yeah. Picard makes the joke. He's like, I don't know how they do it on Deep Space Nine, but we're on time here. Fucking Worf's all fucking apologetic. Like, sorry, I'm fucking late.
Nemesis is almost as bad.
Whatever. I mean, like I said, the movies are never as good as the show because whoever, like, whatever studio executive at fucking Paris, they do the opposite of what. So, like, I'm sure there. I don't watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because fuck it. But I'm sure I'm sure there are Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. like nods or references or like there's some sort of continuity with the Marvel movies.
The TV show follows the continuity of the movies. The movies can give two shits about the TV show.
Okay. Well, there's still some sort of continuity there, right?
Yeah, there's a little bit.
So the biggest problem with all the Star Trek movies, all of them, and I think this is universally across all of the films, with the exception of the new ones because they're doing whatever the fuck they want, is that they didn't, like, for example, how many Next Generation movies are there? Five?
Seven, First Contact, Insurrection, Nemesis, four.
Four. How many movies is Q in?
None.
Yeah, none. How many movies are any of the recurring villains in Star Trek Next Generation in? Minus the Borg.
One, the Duras sisters are in Star Trek Generations.
Oh, yes, that's true. Are they? I thought they died in the... I thought they were already dead.
No, they get killed.
Okay.
In Generations. Well, the Borg were in...
Was it the Borg? Other than the Borg. It's just like... But like, there's no... I don't know. They kind of just... Yeah, there's no Khan. They kind of just do their own...
Khan!
I was kind of surprised they got away with putting Khan into the second movie because...
No, I'm not. That movie was terrible.
Khan requires... You didn't like Wrath of Khan?
No. I'm talking... Oh, I thought you meant like the
Abrams-verse
one.
No. Not the Abrams. The Abrams-verse doesn't count. It's its own thing. It is a completely separate thing.
I don't need your J.J. Abrams movies.
Your Jabrams. Jabrams is his own thing. But I think the Jabrams movies are fine in a vacuum.
Yeah, the second one's not very good, but
I think it's impossible for me to properly evaluate the second movie because I can't remove my own personal biases and knowledge of the film Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan when I see that movie.
Wrath of Khan.
It's very difficult to do that. But those movies.
Oh my God! Star Trek Attack Wing is in 23 waves already released.
That's a lot. They don't have there's no effective callbacks. You're not rewarded for watching the show at all by watching those movies.
Yeah.
And one of the complaints about I think it was, whatever. It's just, it's so, those movies need to exist in their wider universe, but instead they're standalone movies, which is what the producers all wanted. They're like, no, people have to be able to watch this who've never seen Star Trek before. And it's like, who the fuck hasn't seen at least one episode of Star Trek?
Who's going to see a Star Trek movie?
Who's never seen at least one episode or a previous Star Trek movie? So you don't need to make it a so in thing that only someone who's seen every episode of Star Trek is going to know what the fuck is going on. But how about instead of doing Generations where fucking stupid-ass Shatner is in, looking all old with fucking Picard, completely nonsensically. You want to know why the story for the first one is so fucking bad? Because they had to figure out some sort of logical reason why William Shatner is not a fucking pile of dust when the time, so he could meet Picard. But you want to know what would have made the first movie very interesting? My opinion? If the enemy of the first movie was entirely those fucking bug things from the first season.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, that they were back. Like, because, you know, they never, like, they resolved that one dude's head exploded, and they never really talked about those bug things ever again.
Yeah, no, they didn't.
Well, they didn't catch on. The Borg fucking swept those guys, the interest in those guys completely away.
Well, it wasn't that. It was that the producers hated it. That concept, and they didn't really want to do story arcs like that in that first season.
Which is stupid. Story arcs are the best thing. Yeah. But so, I mean, so throw that in your first movie, and because you can make the movie work by itself, having those things as the villain.
What?
And it gives you a big callback to just like why everyone loves First Contact so much is because the people love that movie so much is because the fucking Borg are in it. Yeah. And everyone who knows anything about Next Generation,
I think people like it because of Alfred Woodard, but that's just me.
Is he Zephyr Cochran?
No, that's James Cromwell. No, Alfred Woodard was his African-American companion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
But Captain, and perhaps the barmaid has one of those aliens in her. No, Worf. He hasn't mentioned that since our first session. There are no more aliens inside any more people.
I wrote them out.
I wrote them out. They didn't catch on.
Wrote them out. Nobody liked them.
They were too hard.
Yeah, they were very difficult. Remember, Riker's character was dead in two combat rounds. I'm still upset about it, Captain. Stop crying, Will.
Stop crying.
But he was such a cool bard.
Wesley.
Yeah. No, dude. Crusher would try to bring like the fucking the boutique character from like these like
Acrobat.
These like three supplements. No, it's like it's a character he's cobbled together because it's like, well, I could use this class and then multi-class into this, and then if I take these lists of feats, it's just like, stop trying so hard, Wesley. God damn it.
Wesley shows up with like a Pathfinder stack of cards.
No, and Guinan walks in and she just goes, and Acrobat,
and
throws down to the table.
No, Guinan would walk in, she'd be like, well, say, what are you guys doing? We're playing Dungeons and Dragons, and she just turns and walks away.
Or she could be like, oh, well, if you're playing Rifts, maybe
just leaves. Just, well, I don't think she'd play Rifts. She had a bad experience with the Rift.
That's true.
Do we have anything else that we need to talk about gaming-wise?
I don't know. There's probably a bunch of stuff. Did we talk about anything gaming-wise?
Yeah, we talked a lot about gaming stuff.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, good.
I don't know. I don't pay attention.
I mean, we didn't talk about gaming news so much. We talked about a lot about gaming. Star Trek.
Not really. I mean, there's a Star Wars Carcassonne. That's coming out. So, I mean, if you like Carcassonne in Star Wars, you can buy Star Wars Carcassonne.
You know, I have Carcassonne, but I've always thought to myself, I'd really like this reskin so I could buy a whole other box and play the exact same game over again.
Oh, but this one comes with Stormtrooper and Darth Vader meeples.
Oh, my God. Do I get Kylo Ren?
No Kylo Ren. I'm sorry. Do you know how fucking insanely popular Kylo Ren is with little kids?
Oh, yeah. They love him.
The fuck?
I don't know. My daughter loves him.
I fucking hate Kylo Ren. That just makes me hate him even more.
I know you hate him. I'm actually looking forward to that Blu-ray release so that...
The Blu-ray?
The supposed
like 45 minutes cut is in the movie?
We'll yeah, it's supposed to be amazing Blu-ray.
We'll see.
Yeah, but I don't know. The digital comes out like, you know...
Fucking Jabrams.
I think the same weekend as Adepticon.
I do want to see that
110 Cloverfield Lane or whatever, the fucking movie with John Goodman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Looks that, really weird.
You know, I've heard that it's very, very good, yeah, so. Cool. Yeah, I like John Goodman. I'm not going
to. Who doesn't like John Goodman? John Goodman's like, he's possibly the least threatening person in Hollywood.
You know, I really like watching Family Guy. And every time they make fun of John Goodman, I feel really bad because I'm like, why are you guys making fun of John Goodman?
You should write Seth MacFarlane. You should be like, lay off Goodman, you dick.
I know. It's like, some people they can make fun of, and I'm just like, eh, whatever. I don't really care. It's whatever. But it's like, don't make fun of John Goodman. He's just a good guy, you know?
I obviously don't know John Goodman, but I've never heard a negative story about John Goodman. So I'm waiting for someone who listens to, like, fucking immediately, like, be like, this fucking John Goodman dick. Here's some, and just like,
John Goodman. Goodman, no.
More like John Badman. Yeah, where you're like, I always hear that. Chokes. I always hear like nothing but good things about him. So
I hear the illegal immigrants that choke him in the bathroom while he masturbates. It's not a bad thing. He's a job creator.
He's creating jobs. All right. Job creation.
So do I have any more gaming stuff?
Oof.
Well, I know the auction stuff will.
Let's just read off the things from the tabletop gaming news.
I already kind of looked over it. I didn't see anything of relative importance that I cared about, so to speak.
There's a new Magic set coming out next month. We'll do a bunch of podcasts before it comes out, so that's the thing. There's a brand new Force of Will set that seems to be okay if you're into the crad games. Pokemon card game is fucking huge. Like, all right. the card game has always been, it's always existed, like it's done pretty well, but this, like, The
push set,
the push that's happened with this 20th anniversary thing is ridiculous. I can't believe how many people are just like scrambling for Pokemon cards. It feels kind of like 99 again when the card game first launched.
Oh, the year was 1999.
I think it was 99.
Doo, doo, doo.
Because the Pokemon was 20 years ago. I can't remember when the TCG launched. I think it was 99. It was 96. I don't know.
Oh, 99 we could also do. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game.
I thought that was early 2000s.
Yeah, it's probably. Yeah. Well, 99, it would have to be like, I call about in the mirror, see a little bit clearer. The rottenness is evil in me.
Yeah, I don't know. I never listen to music. It's not my thing.
We could do. Anyone can see the road that they're going is paved in gold.
How about streaks on the china? Never mattered before. Who cares when you drop kick the jacket as you came through the door? No one, Glenn, according to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival, and we must not live a good life yet. And before anyone gives me any shit about the fact that I sang the abbreviated theme song, I only ever watched Mr. Belvedere in syndication, and they didn't play the whole song. I found out much later that the song's like a minute and a half. So upsetting.
Okay, I was actually going to say something, but I'm glad you countered that.
It's so upsetting.
But you also did the little piano playoff wrong at the end, too. But I'll give it to you. Yeah. But there was
I'm not an actual piano.
Steve, not piano.
Check that off the list. All not right. Piano.
No, I was going to say something before the Pokemon thingies, before you were talking about with the Pokies and the Mons and the Pokemons.
So hot. So hot right now.
Oh, House of Strahd is huge right now.
Oh, the Curse of Strahd?
Yeah, Curse of Strahd. Everyone's just, that's all they're talking about.
Well, yeah, it's the first D&D 5th edition supplement that's not goddamn Forgotten Realms.
It's just like everyone's losing their goddamn minds about
Strahd. I mean, Ravenloft's
Strahd.
Also fucking sweet. So.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just like, I can't believe the amount of people that are losing their minds over it's Curse of Strahd, like, right?
Yeah, Curse of Strahd.
But I don't want to call it House of Strahd, but that was an adventure.
Not only is it the first non-Forgotten Realms supplement for 5th edition, there hasn't been a Ravenloft supplement made since 3rd edition. Not 3.5, 3rd edition.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, actually, 3rd edition, it wasn't even official WotC.
Sword and Sorcery.
But
still, that's 3rd edition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking, that's like 20 years.
Yeah.
It's been fucking 20 years since an official Ravenloft supplement's been printed. The last official Ravenloft supplement was printed when Pokemon was brand new.
Straight down China.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's fucking, you know, it's ridiculous. There's a lot of hype for it. And also, the book is gorgeous. The production quality is great. And the content is amazing.
There's like the high quality scans and the maps that are in there. Like, there's places that you could get the high quality scans of the maps. They're just gorgeous maps.
The problem I actually have with that book isn't anything to do with the book or whatever. The problem I have with D&D right now is the
can't keep anything in stock.
It's not even that. It's just like the so the D&D structure, the RPG structure, as any game store owner knows, and anyone who's played an RPG group knows, you have the DM who's generally tasked with buying many books.
Yeah.
But the DM needs one copy of each book. Now, let's say everyone who plays is a good, this is almost impossible because almost anytime you sit down in a role-playing game, nobody knows the fucking rules or has even read the rules or has even glanced the rules or owns a copy of the rule book. But let's say
you're, or even knows what game you're playing.
Let's say you're in a very one of those like strange groups where people actually own the rules. And let's say not everyone owns a copy. Let's say it's, you know, a little more than half. So we're in a group of five. So let's say three people own the player's handbook. That's three copies of that book sold. The Dungeon Master has one copy of the DM's Guide. That's one copy of that book sold. So Wizards of the Coast releases a player supplement. Well, the DM will need that because he'll need to make sure that he is, you know, up to date.
Yeah.
So that's a sale for the DM. Oh, and then the three players need that. So that's three players buying it. So that's a total of four book sales. Now you release a DM supplement. Well, the DM needs that. And that's it. Just one. Now, all of the Wizards releases, except for Sword Coast Adventures, have been DM books or DM supplements. It's all DM shit. Horde of the Dragon Queen, DM. Princess of the Apocalypse, DM. Curse of Strahd, DM. It's all DM. The only player release since the beginning of 5th edition has been Sword Coast Adventures, which means Sword Coast Adventures still outsells every D&D book by like 5-1. So I would like Wizards to actually release a little bit more of a structured system. Like, if they're gonna do, I really like their frequency. Their frequency, they fucking nailed it. It's the opposite of what Pathfinder's doing, where they just flood it. Pathfinder's just like, take everything, and then they just have their giant dick, and you're like, I can't possibly take a dick that size. And they're like, oh, don't worry, I'm using more lube. And you're like, it doesn't matter how much lube you go, the body is, I mean, the mind is willing, but the body is spongy and weak. And, you know, so that's the strategy. And, you know, Wizards, I'd say, is releasing it at just the right, they could even go a little bit faster if they wanted to, but not by much. Maybe like
like a month.
Yeah, if that. But so, but they're doing really good with that. The problem is their targeted release. Everything's for DMs.
I never thought about it that way. That's actually a pretty smart way of thinking about, like, on your end, it's like, no, that doesn't make any
sense. It makes no sense. Like, I understand.
So, like, Player's Handbook and Sword Coast Adventures sells a shit ton.
Way more than anything else.
Yeah.
Way more.
So what it would make sense is that for each release, so let's say they do Curse of Strahd, is that split the book in half. Sell one half.
I wouldn't even split the book. Just have a, if you're going to do a setting supplement like that, have a fucking player's book.
Yeah.
Like the next book. So the follow up to Curse of Strahd, actually the first release should be a Ravenloft player's manual.
Yeah.
That's the first release. And that is new classes, new et cetera. Like the Sword Coast Adventures guide. You do that, but for Ravenloft.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a new characters. You could even put some you get the background, you got the history, you got some like locations and shit like that.
But that's
stuff
player
that your character should know,
right?
If you're playing inside Ravenloft.
Yep, you got it. And then
these
you
are the
release,
dirty gypsies. Don't touch them.
And then you release Curse of Strahd.
Yeah. And then it's all DM shit. It's right. All like maps. It's all the
it's
places.
The companion book. It's the Dungeon Master's Guide to that Ravenloft player's handbook.
Yes. So there we go.
Yes.
Wizards of the Coast, if you're listening, because I know for some odd reason people in the industry listen to our podcast. No one else does.
Impossible.
No, actually, people in the gaming industry listen to our podcast.
Really?
No one else does.
Weird.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe they're like, we're going to do everything these guys say not to do.
A wave serpent, eh?
they're just like, nobody likes these guys. Nobody listens to these guys. People, when they leave reviews, they review how much they hate them. So obviously, we're going to take their opinions and not listen to them.
Yes.
But let me jot it down to make sure you're like, Steve wants more player supplements for D&D. He's going to run it. He's got his paper, runs in. boss, look. The game classy guys. He was complaining about having more player supplements. Triple the DM supplements. Go.
No, what it is it's the webcomic of all of the people of the guy at Wizards of the Coast saying like, how are we gonna sell more books? And then the people at the table are like, I think we should make more DM guides. I think we should triple the price.
Art books.
Yeah, art books. And then it's you at the end and goes, I think we should release more player guides. And then it's the next shot is you flying out the window.
Just tossing me out. Yeah. Makes sense.
More DM guides it is. All right. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve on the Game Classy Facebook page, / Games Classy Podcast. You could also like our sister podcasts, the Pat's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, aka Play On, which is hosted by Steve and co-hosted by, well, it's hosted by Steve, Pat. And it's got Pat. It's like Pat's is like Robin. That's
wow. Who, I've become the Batman.
Oh, I was gonna say the Howard Stern.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, he's your Baba Booey.
Not about nice.
Yes.
Baba Booey, Howard Stern's penis. Baba Booey.
And you can like their Facebook page as well, the Play On Podcast Facebook page. You could also listen to Comic Book Logic, which is hosted by me with my co-host Kevin, where we review comic book movies. We'll go through all of history time. We're doing Man of Steel next week. So the Zack Snyder 2013 epic, Man of Steel. Mm. Yeah, I'm looking forward to tearing that one a new one. The best thing you can do to help out the podcast is to like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes.
You like the Christopher Reeve Superman, don't you?
The 77 one?
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
It's actually way more fun than you remember. It goes on infinitely too long. It's like a 3-hour movie.
That sounds good.
And it doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense.
Why'd have to be Superman to do that, Lois?
Yeah. like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You can also like, comment, subscribe on YouTube, where the Game Classy Facebook, Game Classy podcast is live and uncut on the YouTube. Mm. That's where people leave the best comments. YouTube.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's like they're just like, I don't understand this podcast.
You guys suck.
You guys suck. You guys need to be talking more about the contents of Death Watch Overkill.
It's got models in it. Fuck. Well, you already bought it. What the hell do you want our opinion on it?
If you're listening to this, I don't think our opinion would ever sway anybody on any Games Workshop product.
People's opinion. God damn it. No one should be swayed by anyone's fucking opinion. You need to decide for yourself. If there's someone whose opinion you trust perfectly, you should still decide for yourself.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't take that for absolutely, because there are people's opinions that I do listen to, and I don't like. I won't do something or eat something based upon someone's opinion if I trust them.
Yeah, I mean, I will absolutely try it myself. I don't give a fuck. But people if someone I trusted with my life says, you shouldn't eat that hamburger, it's gross, I'll be like, I'm going to fucking try this hamburger. Because well, you know what? They might be wrong and I can't take that chance. Because that burger might be delicious.
You more eat out of spite.
I mean, well, no. See, if it was bad. No, see, here's the thing. I'll try it due to my own, you know, personal nature. Like, I want to know. I got to know. I have to know. Like, if someone's like, that's the grossest thing I've ever eaten, I'm like, well, I got to fucking try this.
Speaking,
like,
of which, here's my lunch for today.
Well, this isn't gross. This looks delicious. This looks like a caterpillar roll.
That's a Godzilla roll.
Mm.
And that thing was 3 inches in looks girth.
Good. Looks solid. Yeah. I like it.
I mean, that thing was insane. Each piece of sushi, 3 bites.
Sick.
3 bites. That's insane.
Awesome. That sounds awesome.
You know how much that cost me?
$12.99.
$10.
All right. That was close.
For the entire meal with the tamago.
Yeah, that was close. So I have to try it. Now, here's the thing. They said it was the grossest thing ever. I will finish it out of spite.
Ah.
And I'll be like, it's not that bad.
And then you throw up on it.
And I'll just be like, God damn it, it's so bad.
God damn it.
Yeah, I'll try it due to my own nature and having to know myself. But the finishing it, that's the spite. That's where that kicks in. That's how I can finish it. That's how I can get the chutzpah to like devour the rest of the really gross burger.
Oh, I also forgot to mention, Comic Book Logic has its own Facebook page now. So you go like our Facebook page for
Sybil,
Comic Book Logic.
Like Kibble. Kibble.
What?
Kibble. CBL. Kibble.
Yeah. Kibble. CBL.
That sounds like a Cincinnati radio station.
CBL?
Yeah.
Baby, did you ever wonder?
Is it the wonder Cincinnati theme
whatever
song?
Whatever became what of me?
What the fuck was the name? WKRP
here,
in Cincinnati?
Right here in Cincinnati. Cincinnati WKRP.
I know that song. Like, I'm familiar that show existed. Never seen an episode.
It's actually a really good one. The reason why it never ran heavily in syndication is because it used a lot of popular music and they couldn't get the rights for a lot of syndication.
That's Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Drew Carey can't come back. Like, that's why there's no Drew Carey streaming or home video release, because of the music.
Because of the music, yeah.
Daria had the same issue, because Daria used a lot of pop music at the same time. And,
yeah. And Beavis and Butthead, too.
Yeah, and what
they had the videos.
Right, but what they did for Daria... Well, Beavis and Butthead, they actually eventually got out on DVD with the music video content. I don't know how MTV swung that, but they did. Now, Daria, they also released, but the release of Daria, they replaced every bit of music with a completely new music track.
Yeah.
So
it kind of was weird because, I mean, I never watched a lot of Daria, but my sister really liked it. So, like, I always heard episodes or heard music and stuff. And, like, they had episodes that had, like, pop music in it. And, like, I hear the new one. It sounds kind of off. Like, the music doesn't sound proper.
Well, yeah, that's the same thing happened with the Wonder Years.
Oh, okay. Did that again, music?
Well, I mean, you listen to, like, the Wonder Years starts off with the, we're both doing the Joe Cocker hands, too, which is the funny thing when we both started singing that.
Yeah.
But they, like,
we stand on the war
on me. But, yeah, the Joe Cocker. But they even changed like the opening theme. It's like no longer the Joe Cocker.
That's bullshit.
I know.
It's not the Wonder Years without that song.
Yeah,
never been a big fan of the Wonder Years.
I'm not a big fan of the Wonder Years either. Yeah. The golden, that's 60s.
You know, we end almost all of our episodes talking about TV.
Yeah, I know. So Steve, until next time,
stay classy, true believers.
Game classy.